I'm really excited for this morning. I'm trusting God to do mighty things in and amongst us. But so far, a good start. So let's trust Him to do more. This morning at prayer meeting, Leslie shared something that she just felt in the Lord and wanted to remind us that the Spirit knows no bounds. And that's a great thing to have. It's a great thing to know about our God, that He has no bounds. And even as we were praying this morning, just as the wind blew, and so it is an advantage of being in the Strand, is that you can get some really good object lessons of the wind when you need it. But just a real reminder for us, just of the immense power and availability of God and His inability to be bound. You cannot stop this wind. We can use it to windsurf, for those who remember those things. They used to exist. But we can use the wind, but we can't control it. And so just really trusting that God is going to do something mighty amongst us this morning. And so I really want us to be expectant and trusting that He is going to speak to us and He's going to do something in us. So my name is Glenn. For those who haven't met me, it really is wonderful to hang out together. And I'm just really expectant for God to encourage us this morning through this word. And so I want to talk this morning about Spirit-empowered work. Spirit-empowered work. And so Acts 1, verse 8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him because He abides with you, and He will be in you. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away," says Jesus. "For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Peter then draws on these words of Jesus when he writes in, where he says, "Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured out this that you both see and hear." Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then later on in Acts it says, "Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." And so the first two things I want to say and that we see in these scriptures is that the Holy Spirit is given. He's a gift. He's not earned. He's not. God is not tricked. We don't have to climb the Helderberg at a new record in order to try and get to these new heights with the Lord. He is a gift that is given to us. But secondly, that the Holy Spirit is given to everyone who repents. Everyone who repents and is baptized, says the Scriptures. And so when we repent and when we come to ask for this gift of God, by faith we receive the Holy Spirit. But what was the purpose of the Spirit? Many of us will know those scriptures, and maybe they're the first time you've heard them, and that's wonderful because it's a fundamental truth of what it means to be a follower of Christ. But what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Because surely we want the Holy Spirit, yes? Anyone not? Maybe some of you have come from a creepy church background and you're going like, actually, prefer not. Let's just keep to the safe scriptures and just keep things tidy. But there is a purpose to the Holy Spirit. Jesus does everything on purpose. And so if He's saying, "I have a gift for you, and when you ask, I give it," we need to know why. And so the first purpose and reason that we see Jesus giving us the Holy Spirit is when you receive power, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And so the Holy Spirit is given to us to be witnesses. But we also see in John 14, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." And so the Holy Spirit has a teaching and a remembering job for us. And I just say, thank you, Jesus. Since matric, this memory, she struggles a little bit more than she used to. Hey, Pete? And so the Holy Spirit is given to us to remind us of these teachings, whether it's from a preacher, whether it's from your time in the Word, whether it's from an encouragement from a friend. The Holy Spirit is there helping us to remember. And so based on these scriptures, when does the Holy Spirit empower us to witness? So we realize why he's given to us, but when? And so whenever someone witnesses, the Holy Spirit is at work in us. And so the question I have is, does the Spirit empower Sharon when she bears witness through prophecy? Yes? Does the Spirit empower Celia when she encourages us with the word? Yes? When Johnny preaches, is the Holy Spirit empowering him to witness? Yes, he is. Does the Spirit empower Reg when he bears witness at discipleship group through sharing what God has done in his life through the week? Is that an empowering of the Spirit? It is, because he's bearing witness. Does the Spirit empower Jimmy and Jill when they bear witness through teaching and coaching in their marriage equip group? Yeah, you can keep saying yes. It's going to get boring, but it's fine. We need to get this. Does the Spirit empower Martin and Andrea when they bear witness through training up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and that goes for every parent? Is that an empowering of the Spirit? Yes? Surely. Does the Spirit empower Carla when she bears witness through giving up time and love to bring an orphan into a home and to give it a place of belonging and love? That's the empowering of the Spirit. Thank you. I feel it's coming louder. This is good. And we're going to have a moment to pray for Carla and little Raiden a little later on. Does the Spirit empower Justin when he bears witness through leading his team to conduct business like Jesus would? Surely that's an empowering of the Holy Spirit. Does the Spirit empower Marius when he bears witness through repairing and modifying vehicles to the best of his God-given ability? Yes. Does the Spirit empower Lulu when she bears witness through redeeming hair? Yes. As though she was doing it to please Jesus. That's an empowering of the Spirit. And so obviously the answer to all these questions is an undeniable yes. The workplace for every one of us is a place for us to bear witness about Jesus. But it's going to look so different for every one of us. And I think that is our trouble. We see the Jimmies of the world who aren't embarrassed to say silly things to people to try and convince them and to help them to understand about Jesus. And we're like, I would never say something like that. But there's a witness and there's a fruitfulness when he does that. But Jesus is not asking you to be Jimmy. He's asking Jimmy to be Jimmy. And so the workplace for everyone is our place to bear witness. It's not just the evangelist and it's not just the preachers with the microphone. It's for all of us. And so the question is, what is required for us to be a witness? What do we need in order to be successful or effective witnesses in our workplace? Well, Peter says, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, this is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. The first thing that's required in order for us to be effective witnesses is a life surrendered to Jesus. That's our starting point. It's not gifting. It's not how amazing we are with words. It's a life surrendered, repented, baptized, immersed into Christ. Because without that, we cannot know him, and he does not abide in us. The second thing that's required for you and me to be witnesses is a conscious awareness of and friendship with the Spirit. Are we actually aware that when we go to work that the Spirit is with us? And to set our minds on the fact that Jesus says he abides with you because he will be in you, which means he doesn't enter us when we enter these doors and leave us when we leave these doors. He comes in with us and he goes out with us. And so when you walk into your marketplace job, the Spirit is with you and in you. And so what it requires for us is an actual awareness. God is working with Matt is so hard, Lord. This is like a trial. I count it all joy. But Lord, I know you're with me and I know you have a purpose for me today to be a witness in this place. As simple as that. It doesn't need to be fancy. It's just setting our minds on the fact that the Spirit is with us. Because without Him, none of us can witness. None of us. We can witness, but it won't be a real witness and there won't be effectiveness. And so it requires for us an awareness of the fellowship and the friendship that the Spirit wants to be with you. How cool is that? I mean, there's times when I wake up and I'm like, I'm surprised my wife's even still with me. But the Spirit wants to be with me. And He loves me. And He wants to be with you at your job. When that hairstyle comes in and you're like, oh, Himmelse Vader, what is this? The Spirit's like, bring it. Let's do some redemption work here. You know Him because He abides with you and He will be in you. How familiar are you with the Holy Spirit at your workplace? When trouble comes across your desk or into your inbox, is your immediate response, oh, Holy Spirit, let's help, let's sort this thing out. And good moments, it's not just always the bad moments. But are you aware of His presence with you? It's like, I don't know if you've ever, either a sibling or a spouse, and you there's something that you always do together. Maybe it's watching. So I remember with my brother and I, in the holidays, we used to come and watch Test cricket. I don't know, no one ever watches that anymore. But we used to just watch Test cricket together. But then sometimes he would leave and there would be a great wicket and I'd be like, hey, did you, yes, he's not here anymore. But you forget because you're so caught up in the moment and there's such a familiarity that this is the thing we do that you think he's there. The difference is the Spirit never leaves. He never leaves. But do we have such a familiarity that when we walk into our marketplace, we're like, ah, Spirit, you and me, we're doing this thing today. You're with me. You love me. You want to fellowship. You want to do this with me. You want to do my job for me. Please, Lord. But He's with us. Are we that familiar with Him? Because it requires a consciousness of His presence for us to do our jobs and to do it in a way that is a witness. And His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And so as we enter the marketplace, to know that He wants to be with us. And so it requires for us to be witnesses. It requires a life surrendered to Jesus. It requires a conscious awareness of His presence. And thirdly, it requires action. So who wants to be a witness for Jesus? Everyone? Who wants to do it? Nobody. But you can't be a witness unless there's actually action. And that's our trouble. But the Spirit empowers us for the action. That's the cool thing. He empowers us in the action and He empowers us for the action. So we, throughout the scripture, Moses and the 70 leaders, the Lord takes some Spirit from Moses. He gives it to, I don't know how He does that, but He does that, gives it to the 70 leaders and they all prophesy. There's an action, there's an outworking of the Spirit filling them. Judges Othniel, he went and led a war. Okay, we don't want to do that in the power of the Spirit. But that's a different scenario. Gideon also went to battle. It says after the Spirit filled him, he then went to battle. There's an action that comes with the filling of the Spirit. Samson, this is a cool one, tore a lion apart with his bare hands, being filled by the Spirit. I mean, that's pretty cool. Many spoke prophetically. There's many occurrences in the scriptures. John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb. How cool is that? When Jesus came into the room in his mother's womb. I mean, just, I don't even know how that works, Lord. That people can be filled with the Spirit in the womb. But there was an action that resulted in baby John. Not even a baby, but John. Jesus went out to the desert to be tempted, filled with the Spirit. There's an action. We're going to go and be tempted by the devil. The Acts 2 disciples spoke in tongues, bearing witness. That's kind of the only one we know, right? The only one we really remember. Peter, he spoke explaining Jesus as the healer when they asked about the person who was healed. The apostles spoke the gospel. Seven men served the widows. This was after there were people who were filled with the Spirit. Stephen testified to Jesus. Who wants that one? and was stoned to death by the power of the Spirit. Paul began preaching. Barnabas encouraged believers and led many to Christ as one who is called, filled of the Spirit. Paul confronted a sorcerer, leading to his blindness, and the proconsul came to faith. The disciples acted out in joy in Acts 13 as they were filled with the Spirit, but they acted out in joy. It wasn't just this, I'm so joyful. They were joyful. They acted out in joy. And then Paul encourages worship and singing and giving thanks in Ephesians 5, being filled with the Spirit, sing songs, give thanks to God as we do that together as a community. My point is that it is rare indeed for someone to be filled with the Spirit and then not to be an outworking. He intends to empower us to do something, not merely experience Him. The Spirit aims to glorify Jesus through empowering us to some form of action, whatever it is, Carla. She doesn't have to preach to be a witness to Jesus. She brings in orphans and homes them and gives them a family by the power of the Spirit. She bears witness. And so filling of the Spirit always manifests itself, but just not how we always think. And the beauty of the Spirit, says the Scriptures, is that He's like a wind. We can't contain Him. He does what He wants, how He wants, when He wants. And the moment we think we know how He works, He changes it. Because no, He will not be boxed by us. But that's a good thing. Because otherwise we start getting formulas and we start thinking everything's got to always be the same. But the other beauty of it is that things don't have to be like they are. Because He'll do what He wants. And so when we pray for healing and God says, actually, it's in my sovereign will that this person whom I love comes to be with me now. It doesn't mean we stop praying for healing. It means we pray again next time somebody is ill and the Lord says, this time I'm going to do something different. My Spirit's going to blow and bring healing to confirm the power of my gospel. And so we trust the Spirit to do mighty things because He wants to work Himself out into the world that we may bear witness. And so the Spirit is like a wind. He's on the move. He's causing action. He does things, but He does them His way. And that should be exciting for us. Scary, but exciting. I know we don't like the wind to blow. Why? Because when we open doors, the wind closes them. Anyone? When we close them, the wind opens them. When we put our papers in a nice little pile, the wind says, how about no? And scatters them all over the room. The wind blows where it wants to. And we get to be partakers of the life that the wind brings if we'll stop fighting it and follow it where it desires. And to open and ask the Lord to blow that wind in our lives and through us because we want to be effective witnesses. I don't think anyone here is going, I love Jesus, I really don't want to tell anyone about Him. And it's not just about telling, like I was saying about Carla. She wants to express this gratitude of the Spirit in her, indwelling Spirit in her. And she works it out the way she works it out. And we get to come around and support in whatever way we can. The last and the fourth thing that's required for us to bear witness is to actually have faith to act. So it requires action, but we actually have to have the faith to act. So the Lord could be speaking to Celia by His Spirit to give us an encouragement, but unless she actually gets off her seat to speak, the power of the Spirit's not there to bear witness. Carla could, I have such a heart for the orphans, but never actually phones and says, are there any babies in the system? Let me come and take one. It requires an action from us, but it's a faith that actually gets us to move. But you know what that faith is? As Matt keeps on reminding us, it's a trust in God's unshakable promises. That's what our trust is in. Not in, Lord, if I do something, you need to do something. That's not what the promise is. The promise is that when He empowers us, that we will bear witness the way that He wants us to. I'm sure Pete's experienced in many years of preaching, some of the worst preachers, Peter, and I mean a lot of them were, but I'm just joking, they were amazing. Some of the worst preachers that we feel like we're preaching, The Lord does a mighty work in somebody's heart. There was no, like, that was so great. I just felt the joy of the Spirit, felt like I was moving. It was like, this feels so dead. But in faith, we act to bring the word, and the Spirit says, I'm going to do something. My way. And so we certainly want the experience, right? He's a personable God. So it's not, if we never experience the joy and the presence of the Lord, I think there might be a problem there too. But what we do want is a faith to act in obedience and to trust him to move in whatever way. And the beauty about us as vessels is that God does not expect us to be perfect. He's not expecting Celia to stand up here with the perfect expression of the word that she feels in her heart. Because prophecy is under the power of the prophet. They bring it in who they are. The gift is subject to the giver, the bringer of the gift. And so what God's looking for is obedience and a faith for us to actually, God, I want to be a witness in whatever way you're asking me to. And I am just using mic moments, but they're not just mic moments. For Lulu to have a word with somebody as she's shaping their hair. Lord, I don't really feel, but you're reminding me of a word of scripture. I'm just in obedience going to speak. And didn't feel like anything. I don't know what happened there. And that person may go home. The Lord has spoken to their heart, and that news never gets back to Lulu. But the Lord used that word in Lulu to bear witness to somebody because she acted in faith. So we need to step out to witness, whether we feel it or not. Whether we feel it or not, the Lord's called us to act. We will not experience the empowering witness of the Spirit if we don't act. We won't. We can't just sit and receive the empowering of the Spirit in order for us to be like, this is so nice. In his kindness, he does that to us sometimes, but it's not his chief purpose. It's for us to do something, speak out or act to be witnesses. And so our faith must lead to action. And so what effect does the Spirit have on us to empower us to witness? So when he fills us, when we act in faith, what actually happens within us? What evidences would there be for those to whom we are witnesses? So in your marketplace, what are people looking for that the Holy Spirit would bring in evidence? Number one is Christ-likeness, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, whole. That's what people, when we can just act in kindness, people get to bear witness of what Jesus is doing in our lives. Supernatural giftings. He certainly empowers us to do stuff that we can't do by ourselves. Words of wisdom. I believe Lindsay has a gift of wisdom from the Lord. Often into really important scenarios that we have as a church, she'll sit in those scenarios. We talk for hours at length, trying to be all smart, put things in place. Near the end, she'll be like, blah, 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 blah. And we're like, where were you for the last 3 hours? Where was that? But the Lord was working in her, allowing us to seem stupid and be stupid. For him to go, you guys can waste time. Just come and ask me. Whatever your gift is, to bring it to bear witness. The third thing that the Spirit does and the evidence that he works through us at work is kingdom establishment. We establish the kingdom at our workplaces, in our families. What does that look like? It means that we do everything that we do for the king. But the reason you get those silly numbers to balance at the end of the financial year and there's still 3 cents out and you just can't find those 3 cents is because you're doing it as unto the Lord. We work for him. We do it for him. But then we also do the things in the business like people of the kingdom do it, with honesty, with transparency, with love, kindness, mercy. It's all the gospel implications for us. So if we're going to build the kingdom at work, you ought to be bringing freedom in your workplace. That's what the gospel set us free, yes? And so if there's anyone bound at work, part of our job as being witnesses in that workplace is to bring freedom in whatever way. I mean, that you can unpack for days. And how you can bring freedom to people. It means that in the marketplace, we need to bring forgiveness. And that's not a common thing in the marketplace. to show people forgiveness, acceptance. Everyone's vying for position at work. Everyone's trying to bring everyone else down that they can get ahead. What do we do as sons and daughters of God? We show acceptance. You know what? I'm going to do all I can to elevate you, to count you more worthy than myself. We bring the kingdom to our workplaces. We bring grace. We bring our gifts of the Holy Spirit to our workplaces. Has anyone at work gone, yeah, I really feel a prophetic word for this person, but I... And then you don't share it. I know you could be wrong. You could be wrong, but it's okay. You're not going to know unless you step out. You might get stoned. It's okay. It's still the move of the Spirit. Do you bring love to a hostile environment? That's what you can do to establish the kingdom in your workplace. Bring love. Bring redemption. Redeem things like haircuts. Redeem them. Bring hope to people. A lot of people in South Africa need hope. And as those who are building the kingdom, we get to bring hope even when the numbers don't add up. And we might have to retrench people at the end of the year. And Michelle's got story upon story of trusting the Lord and praying for a business and seeing Him move. And to encourage people, guys, I know money's looking tight. I know we might have to retrench. But this is what I felt the Lord say to us. Lyndon's got a great example. In the business place, it wasn't a church. We can bring our gifts to bear in the world. How awesome. We get to bring service. We're not here to be served. We're here to serve. We can bring the kingdom into our workplaces and our marketplaces. Steward, bring peace, bring reconciliation, bring justice, bring humility, bring joy. It's an easy one. Just smile when you walk in the door, even if you don't feel like it. Spirit can bring witness to people. Show patience. We'll skip that one. Let's move on. Faithfulness. No, show patience at work. When your boss is dragging you over the coals again, over something that wasn't your fault, show patience and love. And like Jesus, saying nothing when he's being accused falsely. But show patience and kindness and love. Bring community to the place you're at. People are longing for a place to belong. You get to bring that. How awesome. And wisdom and endurance. His work is painful and hard, but we endure. Why? Because Jesus endured the cross for you and me. And by His Spirit empowers us with the very same things that He empowered Jesus with, and endurance was one of them. Doesn't mean when we're acting and moving in faith and the power of the Spirit that everything's going to be easy. That doesn't equate. Because we need endurance for lots of the things that we do. Witnessing takes endurance. And so when we witness in the marketplace, we can transform that place to echo something of the kingdom of God. We get to bring kingdom bringers into that place. And it's not just some weird terminology about the kingdom of God. We actually get to live it out in empowering by the Holy Spirit. And so when you hear the word work, I want you to hear Spirit-empowered work. Not just salary, not just job, not just Some of us think that when we think work. Hey, Matt. But that we hear Spirit-empowered work in all that we do. And work can become an outworking of the filling of the Holy Spirit. A place for you to grow in the outworking and witness of the Holy Spirit. That's where you're going to learn how to do it most. It's where you spend most of your time. It's the life of the Christ follower that we get to see the work of the Spirit work itself out in our workplaces. That's what our lives ought to be. It's how we are going to spend the rest of these earthbound days until the kingdom comes in its fullness. We get to light these little fires of the kingdom wherever we are. And I hope that witness looks different for you now. I hope that as you think, I need to be a witness for Jesus, doesn't mean you need to slide up a box, stand up in your office, and preach the gospel and condemning everyone to hell. But it's doing all of these things by the power of the Spirit, demonstrating the kingdom and the love of Christ to those at your workplace. Do you want the power of the Holy Spirit? Does anyone not want it? But it means He's going to call us to action. But we want to do that. We've got nothing else to do on this planet. We're all destined to die. So let's use it well. We want to be empowered by the Spirit to spend our time being witnesses for Jesus until He returns. We can even be witnesses on a golf course. I know that sounds crazy, but you can. Wherever you are, you can bear witness to Jesus. But number one, what is required is that you have to have repented. And so there may be some of you who've never repented. You've never confessed your sins to Jesus and said, you know what, God, I'm tired of doing this life by myself. I want to live for you. This life that I'm hearing about now, that's being witnessed to me, I want to live that life. I want the kingdom of God in my life, and I want to be part of building the kingdom of God. If that's you and you're thinking to yourself, I want that, that's the Holy Spirit empowering you because He reminds us and brings condemnation. He helps us understand about sin. He helps us to understand about repentance. He helps us to understand about the judgment that's coming. He helps us to understand about righteousness. It's Him that reveals it to us. Which means the moment sin enters your mind, like, oh no, it's the Holy Spirit empowering you. How cool is that? Not condemning you, empowering you to come to Him in repentance. Because you can't repent if you think you've done nothing wrong. You can't repent if you think you're perfect. And so, He might be calling you this morning to repent and to give your life to Him. And to say, God, for the rest that's ahead of me, I want to live for You. If that's you, you need to repent. For us who have repented and continue to live a life of repentance. So when we mess up, He's not calling us to perfection. There's only one who is perfect in the body, and that is the head. But what He's calling us to is a life of repentance, saying, oh, Jesus, You're mine, I'm Yours. This is Your kingdom I'm trying to build. I repent, Lord. I don't want to change that. I want Your kingdom to come, Your will to be done. And He is so kind and so good to forgive us and to empower us to continue to be witnesses. So do you have a life that is surrendered to Jesus? If not, surrender to Him, that His Spirit might be yours, the gift of the Father. Do you have a conscious awareness and a fellowship and a friendship of the Holy Spirit when you go to work? Set your mind on Him this week, every moment that He's there with you and will never leave you nor forsake you. Will you take action with Him this week to trust Him in faith, to take a step out the boat? I know, but that's water. I know. But trust Him. He wants to bear witness through you. But lastly, He says that if this is the life that we want to live, if we want to live a Spirit-empowered life for God, we have to actually ask Him. We have to ask Him for the Spirit to be filled. And the Scriptures are clear about ongoing filling. Constantly saying, God, I've got another moment tomorrow at work to be a witness for You. Please fill me again. Please empower me again to do this. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to him who asks? How easy is it to say no to Lucy, Matt, when she asks you for something? It's near impossible, right? Bats her eyelids, smiles at daddy. He's going to give her whatever she wants. And God is saying, him being evil, how much more will I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? He's not trying to withhold the Spirit from us. But we may not break out in tongues, but we may break out in tongues. He's going to blow however He wants. But we have to ask Him and we have to trust Him. So I want to actually just have a moment for that this morning. Can we do that? There's no pressure on you. If you don't want to ask, that's fine. But if there's a sense in you going, God, I actually want to be an effective witness for You. I want the power of Your Spirit afresh again. I want to see Your gifts at work through me. I want to see a witness at work. We're going to have a moment now where we're going to trust God for that. Carla's going to stand over there with Raiden and those who want to come and pray for her to be filled. That takes filling of the Spirit, believe me. It takes a lot of sleep as well, but it takes the filling of the Spirit. And she's not going to feel at 2 o'clock in the morning just this presence of the Lord. It's going to be an endurance that this is hard, Lord, but You've empowered me to bear witness by doing this. And so it's going to look different for all of us. And so I want us to come and faith it with the Lord this morning, to trust Him. You might experience something that's awesome, you might not, but we have to ask Him. And so I want to ask the leaders to just spread themselves around here, elders, discipleship group leaders, equip group leaders, whoever wants to pray. Neil and Lucy, please as well. to trust the Lord and say, I've got to come and ask for this. And it's going to take courage from us. We've got to get off our seats and actually walk and do it. Keen to see what the Lord will do in us. Might be cool now, might be in the week when his empowering actually manifests itself. Because all of these things are manifestations of his Spirit. When you act out in patience, that is a manifestation of the Spirit. All of us know that. And he wants to do that for us. And so I want to trust him. I'm going to pray for him. While I'm praying, can the leaders please come up front here? And even if it's somebody next to you that you're going, actually, don't really feel like going up front, but blah, 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 blah. Can you just pray for the filling of the Spirit for me to be empowered for witness? Can we do that? Let's trust him. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, knowing how much you want to give good things to those who ask you. How much more you want to give your Holy Spirit, that you would dwell in us and empower us to be witnesses of Jesus. Jesus is your all. And you desire for all to receive him. Lord, there might be some here who have never repented and say, God, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give it all. I want you guys to also come up and ask somebody to pray for you over that. For others of us, Lord, who know by your scriptures that we need the infilling of your Spirit, that it is a gift given to us that without your Spirit we cannot bear witness. And so we come to you with confidence. We come knowing that Jesus has ripped open the curtains and given us access to the throne of God. And it has been your promise, starting from Ezekiel, that you would give your Spirit to us to transform us and change us and empower us. And so as we sit under some worship music now, Lord, as we step up in action and trust you in faith to ask you for your Spirit, and as we pray for one another, Holy Wind, would you blow where you desire? We are yours. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name.